versus the state. Mr. Gibson, would you check in with the deputy clerk and advise her how much time you'd like to take for your argument? Mr. Gibson, would you check in with, have you already done that?
Yes.
Oh, okay. How much time?
About 10 minutes.
Good morning.
Morning.
How are y'all doing today?
Morning.
Let me apologize in advance for my voice. I was sick during the Christmas break, so I'm a little squeaky. But I'll try to get through this. Obviously, I represent Mr. Jamal Brown concerning this appeal. I was appointed on the appeal and did not handle the case in the trial court. It really centers and focuses on one issue, which I think is kind of an interesting issue under our law, something sort of new. The issue is, in this particular case, he was charged with assault family violence. Initially, it is a misdemeanor offense, just a physical offensive touching or physical pain. He was charged assaulting his sister and his mother, two different charges. He was acquitted of assaulting the sister, but found guilty of assaulting his mother. What made it a felony offense is the allegation that he had a prior conviction of assault family violence, analogous, or in my opinion, very analogous to our theft statutes, other statutes that can enhance a misdemeanor up to a felony level offense. Then, at punishment, the state alleged what we call a classic repetition count under the general repetition statute of 1242 of our penal code. My position is that you cannot do that under our law and under the stare decisis of the courts concerning theft statutes and analogous statutes in the past, in that not that you can't enhance the third-degree felony offense with other types of felony convictions, murder, robbery, felony theft even, given this case, but that because the assault family violence has it within itself a specific enhancement that has been set out by the legislature to say, okay, it's a misdemeanor offense, but we're going to take these seriously, and we're going to bump that misdemeanor up, and our belief is it ought to be a third-degree felony. But nothing more than that, if that's all you have, is the misdemeanors. And I apply the issues as in the Rawlings opinion and the other opinions on thefts. You can make it habitual. I believe the state in their brief was arguing, you know, you could never make these or enhance these. That is not my argument. I want to be real clear, because you can kind of get caught up when you start going through all of these enhancements. And 1242 is so hard to delineate each of them. But my position is, yes, if you are convicted of assault family violence, you have a prior assault family violence, that is a third-degree felony under the specific provision of the assault law. Now, can you enhance that? Yes, you can, with other felony offenses, but you cannot enhance it with previous assault family violence felony offenses. Okay, that's my position, because just as in the other case law, with that specific same type offense, there is already a specifically enumerated enhancement provision. And
so are you saying then that if a person continues to commit only assault family violences, they would never get enhanced under 1242?
That is correct. It is my opinion under the law, just as in thefts, you can commit a million felony thefts, but you're never going to be habitual. But if you commit family violence, get a felony conviction, and you've got a prior murder or robbery or felony theft, you can use the general enhancement provision, because that has not been already specifically delineated by the legislature. But that's exactly my position. I want to address the issues that the state raised in their brief to counter my argument. The first one is that, obviously, waiver. There was no objection made throughout the trial. Once again, going to my belief that all trial attorneys ought to have to handle appeals so they can see what it's like when you look at a record and you're trying to ferret out possible injustices that occurred. There wasn't an objection. There was not a motion to quash. That's why I have to base my claim on the fact that this enhancement is void in the indictment, fundamentally defective enhancement count, and that's what I'm basing my argument on, since there was no objection at trial. The second thing is that...
authority to support that? And do you have any authority to support that argument?
Just the general law that says a fundamentally defective indictment doesn't require an objection. That's all I've got. But I do think it does go to the heart of it, because that enhancement count and provision is void, the repetition count under 1242, not the assault family violence count, but the 1242 general repetition count is void under my theory of the law and under all the theft cases that have addressed that issue in that area.
But what about the fact that the sentence given, I think, didn't go over the max?
I think that goes to harmless. Yeah, the sentence was 7 years, which would fit within, if you throw out that repetition count. I think there you're going into an area of assessing harm. And I think that's very logical to go there. However, if it's void, if it's fundamentally defective, harm doesn't apply, in my opinion. But secondly, if the court were to find that, when you go to trial and you're talking to a jury and the jury's looking at a penalty range of 2 to 20 years, I think it's absolutely logical, anybody that's been in a courtroom, that that's going to be the penalty range for which they base their judgment, and that the whole arguments, and in this case, the arguments were made within that range. And a jury looking at 2 to 20 and assessing 7 is going to be a different verdict if you look at 2 to 10. If 10 was the maximum, I think a jury would have come a lot lower on their verdict in this case. But I do think that that goes to harm analysis. The second argument the state makes is that the gist of appellant's claim is an assault family member cannot be enhanced beyond a third-degree felony. Not true. It can be, just like thefts can be. it just can't be with anything that is assault family violence in and of itself, because the legislative intent was that assault family violence would be enhanced up to a third degree. You know, we're still just talking about an assault. I understand that it's a worse assault than the average assault from society's perspective today. But it's still just causing any type of physical pain can be even recklessly. And I think that's why the legislature said, okay, look, we're going to allow you to prosecute these guys or these people as a felony. However, we're going to have some limits on it. We're going to specifically delineate it because, once again, we are talking about just a physical assault, nothing that arises to aggravated assault. I mean, and so they specifically set it out as a third-degree felony, just as those felony thefts, you know, no matter how small or big, turn into state jail felonies, but nothing more than that under our law and under the case law that applies. So when the state argues that you can never make an assault family violence third degree habitual, yes, you can. It just can't be with family violence cases. They also make an argument that our situation is different, and they kind of concede that it's like the theft situation and the applicable case law, in that, you know, really it looks like you ought not be able to, since the case law there is very clear, very replete, that if there is a specific enhancement provision, that you cannot use the general enhancement provision for that type of offense, just as in the theft law has said. But how the state tries to get around that is saying that our enhancement under the family violence is not a specific enhancement provision, but it's a punishment level. I think it's playing with words. However, I found a case, State versus Cagle, 77 Southwest 3rd, 344, Houston, I think it's the 14th, and the petition was refused on that case by the Court of Criminal Appeals, wherein they specifically hold that this provision is, quote, a specific enhancement provision under the assault statute. It's dealt with in a different area, but they specifically say, no, this is a specific enhancement provision. And lastly, the state makes an argument that my reading of it or the way I think it should be applied would result in a non-logical application of the law, in that they say that a person guilty of multiple assaults – against strangers could be sentenced as a habitual offender, whereas a family violence couldn't. That's on page 7 of their brief. That's not true. Just from the statute itself, if you commit assault, you could commit 3,000 assaults, and it's always going to be a misdemeanor. So it's going to be Class A. You can get up minimum, bump up the minimum of a misdemeanor, but if you assault, you know, strangers, people that you don't know that are not family members, you can't be ever convicted as a habitual offender unless I'm missing something. It's always going to be a misdemeanor. What the legislature said in this particular scenario is that if you commit assault against a family member and are convicted, then you come back and do it again, you're going to be looking at a third-degree felony. We're bumping you up to a third-degree felony. And only those cases can ultimately become habitual offenders. But a misdemeanor assault on a stranger could never be a habitual offender. So that's absolutely not true. That argument is totally fictitious. Do you have any more questions? That's sort of the end of what my argument is.
Thank you, Ms. Mullen.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Gibson.
May it please the court. I didn't mean to mischaracterize her argument as I understand that what she's talking about is taking family violences and using them to enhance the actual family violence. But let me talk for a second about the difference between the theft statute and the assault statute. What it comes down to is this kind of broad interpretation of Rawlings. And I don't think that it stands for the general proposition that any time a penal offense, and this is what I was trying to get at in the brief, any time a penal offense contains a punishment provision, that it can't ever be enhanced with that same offense. It has to do with only the theft statute because of the peculiar qualities of that statute. In the theft statute, as it exists now, obviously not at the time of Rawlings, but a state jail felon, the theft is a state jail felony if the value is less than $1,500 and the defendant has been convicted two or more times, that's how they put it, two or more times of any grade of theft, And that's going to preclude any other enhancement scheme, taking the statute in context, that no matter how you work it out, no matter how many times you get convicted of theft, it can't be ramped up more than that, as long as the thefts are small. And that, I suppose, is the analogy. Her analogy, I guess, is between family violence assault and under $1,500 value thefts. But the assault statute, though, is different because it doesn't preclude anything. It just prescribes a punishment range for a family violence offender when the defendant has been previously convicted of, you know, not two or more times, but just previously convicted of family violence. She might have the better argument if the assault statute said something like, the person has been convicted two or more times of family, then that would, or one or more times, or more than once, or something like that, then it would sort of limit or exclude any other situation in which the assault has got to be committed in the past. It's kind of hard to explain, but a case that I don't cite in the brief, Maybauer from Waco, which was sort of important for its old chief interpretation, 968 Southwest 2nd 502. That case took a similar claim having to do with DWI at the time. And the statute had been changed to, the DWI statute had been changed to remove the language two or more times. Based on that reading of the statute, and there was another reason why the defendant's argument failed, but based on that reading of the statute, the Waco court said, well, it doesn't preclude any other enhancement scheme. Now it just says previously convicted, or whatever the language became, not two or more times, which that's why I think that Rawlings can't be sort of subjected to the interpretation that, you know, everything that's out there that's in the penal code that talks about an enhancement has got to remove 1242 from ever being considered. But mainly because theft is so different. I mean, obviously the legislature took a view that property crimes are going to be considered differently from any other kind of crime. So in that regard, I just don't think it's completely correct to say, you know, once you have a different punishment level within the penal statute itself, that is going to preclude any kind of, you know, for a felony, that's going to preclude any kind of enhancement under 1242. Just one other thing with regard to waiver. Since it was within the range, I don't think there could ever be a claim that it was an illegal sentence. And we do cite to this court's opinion in a case called Stanley, which is unpublished, in which the more or less exact argument was made, but this court held that in that case, the defendant filed a motion to quash, that it didn't comport with his claim on appeal. So if it doesn't comport, we think that it should have to be preserved in some way. So this is, because it's not a legal sentence, certainly we think this is something that should be preserved. If there are no questions, we pray that the judgment of the court be affirmed.
Well, I have a question. Doesn't it appear, though, just on the face of it, that it seems unusual that you would get to enhance twice within one offense? Are there other examples that treat one offense that way?
Well, do you mean the one kind of offense or one?
One conviction, one transaction.
Well, I guess I see what you're talking about. In this case, for example, he commits a family violence.
Right.
And because he has a previous family violence, it's a third degree.
Right.
But I believe what they're doing is taking other family violences to ramp it up from there. So, I don't think it's sort of like, enhancing or habitualizing DWI beyond its Chapter 49 scheme, if I understand your question
okay. Right.
I mean, so you're not really using the same, you're just using the same type of offense.
I see.
Which is the heart of her claim.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Gibson. Ms. Mullen.
Just briefly, Rawlings, though, and Pfeiffer and the other cases I cite in my brief stand for one basic proposition under the law, and that is when a special enhancement statute specifically provides for the upgrade of the offense charged with an identical prior offense, use of the enhancement provisions under 1242 is prohibited when using the same type offense. There's a lot of law cited in my brief that stand for that proposition, and when you apply it to this particular situation, the assault statute, it ends up with the same result. You can't use another family violence case to generally enhance, only to specifically enhance under the law. That's my argument. So if anybody has any questions, I'll give you all some time back, and I appreciate your patience.
Well, thank you. Thanks. Appreciate both of you all appearing this morning to present your arguments, and case is submitted, and you're both excused.